Welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Vala Afshar of Enterasys Networks. Welcome, Vala.
Thank you, Adrian.
Vala, just for the benefit of our listeners and readers, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and Enterasys Networks and the work that you do?
Sure. My name is Vala Afshar, and I'm the Chief Customer Officer at Enterasys Networks. Enterasys Networks is almost a 30-year-old company with a long heritage of delivering differentiated network solutions for wired and wireless applications, with over 500 patents in terms of management and security technologies. We're a growing company with presence in 70 countries with thousands of enterprise customers across multiple industries. Our company's core values are reliability, innovation, and customer focus. A strong differentiation for Enterasys is our award-winning customer support and extensively referenceable loyal customer base. And my responsibility at the company is managing our global services operations. As a chief customer officer, my job is to ensure that we live by our company ethos. It's a culture where there is nothing more important than our customers, and our North Star, our mission, is to be the best networking solution provider in the industry. With innovation, reliable products, and outstanding support. So, essentially, my job is to ensure we deliver on those promises. And our purpose is essentially to become our customers' trusted advisor and favorite technology vendor to do business with.
That's fantastic. Before I press record on this, and you were telling me a little bit about Enterasys, and we were talking a little bit about the history of the firm and how the firm's strategy has changed over the last few years. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and how that was as a change process, or how much of a transformation that was?
Sure. You know, our company was purchased by a private equity firm at that time, and it was a business transformation. In terms of transitioning from a public to a private company, and we had a team of a new leadership team that came into the business and looked at our products and solutions and overall company direction and culture, and it was clear to us that although we had a long history of delivering strong products and innovation, there was certainly room for us to achieve greater potential in becoming a more customer-centric company. So we adopted the ethos of there's nothing more important than our customers, and we really started to engage our company at all levels. We developed an extended leadership team, which was a team of volunteers representing single contributors throughout different functions within the company. And we really solicited thoughtful insight from all of our employees in terms of how do we become our customer's favorite company to do business with? How do we make transacting with us easier? How do we ensure we have the highest degree of accountability throughout the company? And again, it's clear to us that you know one of us is as smart as all of us.
Sure.
So if you want to practice, a culture of accountability, you must have transparency at all levels. And certainly at the time, our CEO, Mike Fabiaschi, and his extended leadership team really made a concerted effort to uniting the company and all of our employees with this common cause and this sense of purpose in terms of doing as much as we can to service our customers and partners.
Yeah, I mean that's that makes a lot of sense. And also another thing that you said, there's a number of things that you said earlier, which before our call, which really resonated with me. And one was that the company is, because of its ethos, it has there's an element of that. Whereas you want to be the best, which is not doesn't necessarily mean that you want to be the biggest. If you become the biggest by being the best, then that's great. But it's more a case of we'll be the best first, and then we'll grow on the back of that. And I think that's really it's almost like goes against the grain in a lot of large modern business. Would you agree?
I think that I certainly agree with the notion that you want to have intense focus on your customers and partners, and I find that a lot of businesses have their intense focus on the competition and lose sight of the fact that at the end of the day, if you can continue to innovate, if you can continue to build good quality products, and you can deliver strong support to your customers. But that's how you can compete in this market. We're a technology company, and what's clear in the technology space is that there's a growing consumption gap. I'll define the consumption gap as how the customers are using products versus the full potential capabilities of the products and solutions. And every day there's an increase in this consumption gap. So in order for technology vendors to validate and demonstrate the best return on investment to their customers is to partner with them and allow them and enable them to leverage all of the full capabilities of the products and solutions that are there. And so focusing on continuous improvement and delivering the best product and service ultimately translates in becoming a trusted advisor and reducing that consumption gap.
I think we've all experienced a consumption gap when we whenever we've used any sort of piece of software, whether it's from Microsoft or it's from Apple or from another sort of technology software provider, when somebody shows us another shortcut or another piece of functionality that we never knew about. And there always seems to be stuff out there that's another piece of functionality that we don't know about.
Absolutely. I have an iPhone with me, and I wish I probably know about 10% of what this smartphone can do for me. So, and that's just an example of it. And I do think that you can build and you really transition from customer satisfaction to customer loyalty when you can demonstrate to the customer that you care. And part of caring is being generous with your time and your knowledge. All the traditional contact center KPIs that you talked, for example, in terms of talk time and how you can increase efficiency by reducing talk time. One of the key differentiators for us here at Enterasys is our agents will spend as long as they need to. Our engineers will be on the phone or on email or whatever the channel may be to ensure the customer has full understanding of our products, features, functionality, and capabilities. And to be honest with you, companies need to think about how to make their solution sticky.
Sure.
And you can make your solution sticky by turning on the features that you've worked so hard to develop. You look at today in the technology space, certainly security, availability, you have mission-critical enterprises running on our products. And it's important for us to educate our customers and partners so that they can have the most robust, most available, most secure infrastructure. And they can achieve that by enabling the intellectual property and capabilities of our solutions.
I think going back to what you said about sort of sharing your knowledge, I mean, there's another thing that you told me which I thought was fantastic, and it's a bit of a sort of a I feel like a pet bugbear of mine, where I'm a great believer that your brand is effectively as good as the last piece of contact that you have with a member of your organization, let's say, or the last thing that they hear about your organization. So when you've got firms that run big, if you like, call centers, and they have their call center staffed with which effective who people who are effectively the lowest paid people in their organization, and those people tend to become their brand ambassadors. For me, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But so one of the things that you told me earlier on and refers to sort of the sharing the knowledge is that you've collapsed your support organization for your customers such that you've got very, very highly paid and very highly qualified engineers on your front line helping your customers. And that's why you've got such a high call resolution rate. Is that right?
Yeah, that's spot on. So, I view there are five critical success factors to unleashing your full potential. And I think this philosophy is more than just service and support, but any function. And those five critical success factors are people, process, innovation, structure, and culture. So certainly how you structure your people and how you innovate and create that culture of knowledge sharing is critically important. And you're absolutely right in your statement that the company brand and customer loyalty ultimately is predicated or dictated by the first line and every touch point, especially the first line contact. In our contact centers, vast majority of our customer partner transactions managed from open to resolution by our frontline staff. And so in our company, the CEO of service and support is our frontline staff. So as we use balanced performance scorecard techniques to benchmark and evaluate the performance of our architects and our deep subject matter experts, one of the key KPIs that we use is their ability to provide service and support and collaborate with our frontline staff. So really, it's our focus is to ensure that initial contact is high quality with deep level of experience and expertise. Prior to managing service and support, I was responsible for our global system quality assurance function at Enterasys. And when somebody would ask me definition of quality, my answer would be customer perception. So you can have the fantastic metrics and you can have fantastic capabilities in terms of building a quality product or service. And it could take one issue and that customer's perception may be significant enough where you may lose the opportunity of future business. So and so every touch point needs to be scrutinized and managed well, especially the frontline staff.
I think the other thing you said, which I thought was really good, because I think for me, there's being able to deliver a compelling or engaging, or to use your word, sort of a sticky customer experience, is predicated on employee engagement and being really engaged with what they do, their customers' experience, satisfying their customers' needs, etc. But a lot of people, when they talk about employee engagement, a lot of people think about that from a perspective of it's partly the employee's responsibility, but a lot of the responsibility goes to leadership, as it were, or management. But one of the things that you talked about was you have this everybody's linked to the front line, as it were. When you have this, people get measured on the assists that they give. So if they're not on the front line, but it's almost they get measured on how much of an assistance or how much of a, or I don't know how to express this, but how many assists they make. I guess it's probably something to do with it's like a sporting analogy, is it not? It's like
Yeah, no,
how many assists do you have to be able to resolve a problem?
right. So in any high-tech company, you have tiered service and support models. In some companies, it could be tiered to four or five different levels before you talk to the solutions architect. Because of the deep tenure of the service personnel at Enterasys, we've been able to collapse our tiering to two levels. So you have your frontline staff that are manning the phones and your multi-channel contact, email and web and social, and then you have your higher level subject matter experts that are in the labs working with development engineering and really responsible for tackling the complex type of contact that comes in. So one of the things we've done is to make sure that we promote the ability for and recognize our architects or the folks that are in the labs engaging with our engineering teams to help our frontline staff be successful in terms of speed to resolution. So we have this capability where our frontline staff can give an assist to any of our deep subject matter experts who are able to partner with them to completely solve an issue in a satisfactory manner. And so, you know, you've heard what gets measured ultimately defines the behavior of an organization. So for us to really truly value our frontline staff as the most important stakeholders in our business, it was important for us to measure our engagement levels from the folks that are in our labs and working with our engineering teams.
And that sounds like a great way of doing it, because what it does do is it makes the engagement the responsibility of, if you like, it's like an intra sort of employee thing.
Yes.
Rather than it's top down or bottom up, it's amongst the team that are dealing with these issues on a day to day or hour by hour basis.
Right. What it does, you're looking at the front line as the customer to the folks that are in the labs building and supporting the products, and you know, it's part of making sure that the KPIs or the key performance indicators that you build give you balance in terms of efficiency and effectiveness. Often I see the pendulum swung too far to the efficiency part, where you know you don't have the customer's full agreement to close a case, or customers may feel like you're rushing them to jump on to the next case that's waiting in the queue. It's important to make sure that whatever KPIs you use to manage the business remind all of the employees that there has to be a healthy balance of efficiency and effectiveness. Ultimately, the nirvana is, you know, you're trying to build customer relationships at every point. And you want to demonstrate to your customer that you care. And that goes back to what I said before. You have to be generous with your time and your knowledge.
Uh-huh.
And if you can demonstrate that, then I think customers want to do business with you.
Do you think just moving on to sort of more sort of general stuff, I mean, is in your experience, I mean, you've been with InteroSys now for 16 years, you said?
Yes.
Would you say that, you know, with all the things that are happening around, you know, the world, and have happened over the last few years, whether it's economic crisis, growth in new types of technology, possibly changing some social dynamics, do you think that the power of the customer is rising, and why is that, do you think?
I think I personally think the customers always had the power. It's just today they can find themselves influencing others in a more scalable manner.
Okay.
Certainly through social media. You have 1/6 of humanity on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes.
And you have within the enterprise, you have social collaboration growing. I mean, in IT, when I look at information technology megatrends, certainly cloud computing, mobility, and social collaborations are three big megatrends, including mm-hmm. analytics and big data.
Uh-huh.
So customers can certainly share their thoughts and beliefs and opinions in a much more scalable manner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your customers are talking about you, and you need to be listening.
Yeah.
And the channels are growing in terms of how they can share their knowledge. So, you know, I think companies need to, as part of their, you know, growth strategy, embrace social collaboration and be more on the offensive. Mm-hmm. Rather than defensive.
Sure.
Gary Vaynerchuk said that, you know, who's a thought leader in terms of social media and service and space, said, you know, companies need a thank you department, and they need to be less defensive, more offensive.
Yes.
So innovation is what allows you to do that. Innovation is embracing social collaboration, but also using predictive analytics. When you have all these touch points from your customer, if you can leverage business intelligence to profile the touch points in the contact and use regression analysis to determine if a customer is reporting maybe excessive defects on a particular product line, or they're calling you for a lot of consultative type service, so there may be an opportunity for training.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to engage them because they're a new customer and they're evaluating new technology, and you want to make sure that part of that evaluation includes not only the product evaluation, but also service evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in order for you to get involved from a services organization, when it's pre-sales activity, you have to have a nice tight linkage between services and sales. So, you know, again, customer, to go back to your questions, they're definitely more empowered and have much more of a extended reach in terms of sharing their wisdom and their beliefs and perceptions. So it's a challenge for the vendor, the enterprise, to make sure that they're not only proactive, but they're able to engage using these channels.
I think that's you make an interesting a great point, and I think one of the challenges that I see is that one of the challenges that a lot of large enterprises miss is that there's some adoption of the technology to be able to do the things that they want to do to be able to try and be more proactive, but they can tend to miss out like, as you say, one of your critical success factors, which is the people and the culture side of things. And so if you don't move those two or three things sort of forward so simultaneously, then you end up with, I mean, we've seen instances of this where you have all sorts of different companies that are on Twitter and Facebook, and then people try and reach out to them and contact them, and then they get met by a wall of deafening silence. And so we've got to be careful as companies that we're ready to reach out and be more proactive, and that we both have both the hard and the soft side kind of keeping up with each other. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. So you may have the idea that it's important to embrace multi-channel contact, including social, but to be innovative, to bridge the gap between an idea to innovation is the execution.
Yeah.
So it's not easy to introduce a whole new channel where you have to train and build that required IQ and EQ.
Yes.
For your support staff to be able to freely engage with customers and partners, for example, through social media. A lot of the competitors that in our space, you know, your frontline staff are reading scripts.
Yes.
And they're not empowered to make decisions or to collaborate with other subject matter experts to deliver support. So if you're an innovative company, and again, in our space, it's critical for you to be innovative. You have to recognize that the only constant is change.
Yes.
And so you have to be adapt. You have to be able to adapt. And again, personally, I'm new to social media myself, but you know, it's become a great source of knowledge, and it allows you to really understand best practices and be able to bring some of that back into your company.
I think that's right, and I think that there's also this other thing is that we need to be careful of is that when we talk about innovation, innovation is not just about technology.
Right.
Innovation is about people, process, culture, structure, all of the other things that you mentioned. And if you're going to innovate, you have to innovate across the piece.
Absolutely. I read a lot about CRM failures, and CRM is a tool. I mean, for the order is culture, people, process, tool. So if you have companies that are struggling with improving customer satisfaction, loyalty, or creating an ability to resolve issues in a timely manner, you have to think about what is your strategy. Do you have the right people? Do you have the right process? And do you have the right metrics to guide you along the way? I think a Kaizen approach, small incremental improvements.
Yeah.
Where you can look back and you can't really think of any one big transformative event. You know, it's more of an evolution, not a revolution type thinking is required. So continuous improvement we keep talking about people, and what's important is to recognize that thought leadership comes from the field. Thought leadership can exist within the organization. You talked about a transformation that happened perhaps in 2005 that was palpable within Terasys. Really, it was a message to all our employees to learn to lead without a title.
Sure.
You have to reject mediocrity.
Yeah.
And to enthusiastically embrace continuous improvement. So it really goes back to the people, but and the success factors, structure, culture, innovation, as well.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Vala. So let me ask you something else. I mean, it's you obviously. I mean, you're obviously a busy guy, and it's in this day and age, the sort of the amount of information that seems to be, and thought leadership that you've mentioned that's sort of out there. How do you, where do you get your information from, and how do you keep up?
I most recently I find that social media is a great tool. I've started using Twitter in March of this year, based on advice I received from our CIO, and I found that what Twitter enabled me to do is to get really real time information. The same information I was reading in print or searching on my own on the web, it is now being delivered to me in real time. And in the service and support space of business, I mean, there's some great, and you're obviously a power blogger yourself, but Harvard Business Review, Harvard Biz is a great set of blogs on a daily basis. Analyst, Forrester, Gartner, One-to-One Media. These are great resources in the service and support and overall business space. Guy Kawasaki, his Alltop page is fantastic. Very diverse set of good information. I don't work at a startup company. I work in a in a global enterprise, but Startup Pro delivers fantastic business leadership management advice. Marty Zilliger, Startup Pro, BNet, CBS, BNet, fantastic, diverse set of business leaders. So, in summary, I think that, nowadays folks are asking me if I'm addicted to Twitter, and my answer is that I'm addicted to smart people and learning. So yes, I guess I'm addicted to Twitter. So, I find that in these clever ways of, I mean, you can get inundated with information. So creating useful lists, and following subject matter experts and engaging. As of now, I mean, certainly collaborating with colleagues who are subject matter experts and use of social media is where I get my guidance.
Well, some great tips in there, and I actually was lucky enough to interview Guy Kawasaki a few months ago. So yeah, he's a great source of insight and knowledge, and some of his, the old top stuff is a really good resource.
Yeah, I think you have Tom Peters and Ken Blanchard, some industry veteran, legends in the leadership and management space, but folks like Guy Vanderchuk and Guy Kawasaki and there's some real good innovative new thinking that integrates social collaboration and some of the IT megatrends that I mentioned. John Gallant, who's key guy at IDG, publisher of CIO Magazine, Network World, Computing World, his team and himself create great content in the space that I'm in. So Mashable is a great source of technology and social media and business practices. So I'm about about 50 the Twitter institution and followers that produce tremendous wisdom that I'm fortunate to get in real time now. So.
Excellent. Well, Val, thank you for sharing that with us. One final question that I always ask everybody that I interview on the block is there, and that is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
That's a great question. It caught me off guard. No, I think that no, but I would tell you the most important question manager could ask is how can I help you do your job better? So, you know, appreciate the people that you work with, and do your best to enable their success, because their success is your success. So, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, and another advantage of social media, and that's how we met.
Well, indeed. I mean,
there's my plug. Use social media to learn from others.
Excellent. Well, Val, thank you for your time today. That's been fantastic. Really, really, really interesting. I really enjoyed it.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.